AM 1560 and FM 97.7 KNZR. Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck. And now, News First with local news for Bakersfield and the entire county. That's a winning combination on KNZR. And now, here's Terry Maxwell.
Welcome back, everybody. We were able to recover the audio that we played yesterday from the doctor who is in Indiana at the Mount Vernon School District. We are planning on playing that in our last hour today. Brian Colbert will be in with us during that hour, and I know Brian would love to hear this also, and he'd love to make some comments about it. I just had Dr. Mensing listen to it during our top of the hour, and I think it would be appropriate at this point to talk at least one more time about this COVID-19, what you're doing at the practice, because you're getting great results with your patients. And you talked about compliance last time, and you said you have never seen such phenomenal compliance in your whole life.
All my patients are doing what I'm telling them. I've never seen anything like it.
Well, but a lot of people that listen to this program are doing what you're telling them too.
Terry,
so
I just hope, you know, I look at this, Terry, I just hope that I leave a legacy of good for this community with this program. That's really my bottom line. I hope so.
So what are your recommendations?
Oh, I'm okay. I'm sorry, I got sidetracked.
No.
All right. Well, what we do at the office is, first of all, we optimize D3 levels. All right. Above 80, and bottom line, above 80, nobody dies. End of discussion. All right.
But there's a recent example where you had somebody, a couple, and the wife had a D3 level of like around 50, and the husband was much higher, but closer to 100, and there was a difference between their reaction to, because they both had to have been exposed, right?
Yeah.
The husband didn't get it, and the wife did.
That's correct.
And that's kind of interesting. So monitoring that D3 level is important.
What we know, on the study that we talked about, this what, 5 months ago, roughly almost now,
right,
that Quest Labs did that came out of Boston. But make a long story short, you know, 193,000 cases of COVID in the U.S. This was not the Delta variant, before that. They looked at that and vitamin D3 levels with the risk of dying. And make a long story short, Terry, this is a massive number. The higher the D3 levels, the lower the risk of dying.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Now, out of that same study, they published, although it wasn't as strong confidence levels,
mm-hmm.
but they also published that those above 80, the higher the D3 levels above 80, may make that you resistance to getting the virus and
right.
may not even know it. Now, we don't know that for sure, and that wasn't as high confidence levels.
Their P number wasn't high enough to say, yeah.
But
yeah,
I look at myself, I've had COVID. All right? Mm-hmm. I'm IgG positive, I'm IgM negative. I've had COVID, and I'm pretty sure I know when I got it. All right, I don't really know, but I was, you know, up on the COVID unit for one of my patients up there daily kind of thing, and that's probably where I picked it up. I didn't know I had it. Was not sick. All right. Now, for me, that's the best place to be.
All right.
You can't get better. But here's the thing. We have our patients keep their D3 levels up. Every patient we look at, measure it, essentially. Number two, we do an EKG on all our patients so that if they get in contact with COVID, bottom line, we essentially send them in ivermectin, and hydroxychloroquine has to be done early. And then if you have any breathing troubles, we give them budesonide and dexamethasone. And we've been very fortunate. I've only lost one, Terry, out of 1,000 patients. And he didn't do as I told him. You know what I mean?
Right.
But most of the patients are doing it. What we ask is to take the vitamin D3.
It's about 10,000 international units. But, you know, you probably should have your blood tested first, see where you are.
You have to have, if you're getting these levels, you have to have a doctor under doctor supervision, okay?
Right.
This is not for normal people. That sounds bad. But it's not for to do on your own out there, all right? Because there's issues you have to look at.
Don't self-treat.
Yeah, I don't self-treat. Have your doctor do this. But check your D3 level. But you want your D3 level above 80, all right?
Right.
I keep mine about 110, but above 80. make a long story short, we haven't. We keep their day three levels high, above 80. We give them iodide, all right? Because if you take iodide with D3 levels above 80, it does a whole bunch of neat things to T2 immunity. Just amazing things, all right? Mm-hmm. We give them our multivitamin, which has the correct amount of zinc and selenium and all these traces. Vitamin K2, all these kind of things, all right? We have them take a teaspoon of honey three times a day, mm-hmm. raw honey, a teaspoon of raw minced garlic three times a day, and we have them take vitamin C 2,000 milligrams twice a day. And we've literally lost, you know, had very good success. Now, there's a lot of fear right now with the Delta variant, okay? Everybody's going, oh my gosh, all right?
Yeah, and here it is, middle of summer.
Yeah, the Delta variant is more contagious, but it looks like it's not as lethal as even the regular flu. There's a whole bunch of things coming up. Number two, if you've had COVID, you are resistant to the Delta variant, okay? If you have mm-hmm. natural immunity. Mm-hmm. If you had the immunization, you are not.
Right. You can still be a carrier.
Yeah, you can still be. And there's a whole bunch of issues with that. We have been very fortunate. We do EKGs on all our patients, all right? So that we have them. We know there's no blocks. And if you do that, and they call us and say, I'm exposed to COVID, we start them on hydroxychloroquine right away.
Right.
As long as there's no block, it's very, very safe. And the earlier you do it, the better it works, kind of thing. And we've been, and I look at it, it's not going to hurt you. All right.
Well, hydroxychloroquine's been around for what, since 1947?
We've used it around the world. 3 billion times? It's sold over the counter. Yeah. All right. Yeah. It's sold like aspirin. All right. And as long as there's no heart blocks, it is extremely safe.
Right.
Very safe. And we've used it for years. I mean, I have patients with rheumatoid arthritis have been on it for years.
Right.
All right. In fact, my RA patients, my rheumatoid arthritis patients, don't want to stop it. You know? But they take it.
Don't take away something that is working for them.
Yes, and it works, kind of thing. And we've had patients for years on hydroxychloroquine. So all this talk of how dangerous it is as long as there's no heart rhythm.
And where
blocks,
did that come from? CDC, NIH. We shouldn't listen to these people. And I've said that before. You don't have to. That did not come from Dr. Mensing. That came from Terry Maxwell.
But here's the deal. I mean, COVID is serious, Terry. There's people saying it doesn't exist. That's not true. It does exist.
And I've never said it doesn't exist.
But from my point of view, Terry, there's a lot of. I'm not against vaccines, by the way, and a lot of people think I am. I'm not. I'm against mandating them. I think mm-hmm. that's a mistake. I fit more along with Rand Paul. You know his ideas.
Right.
I've probably that's where I fit more. And Rand Paul's not against vaccines either, but I'm against the mandating of them. I think there's really serious issues with that, especially when their quotes still not had FDA approval, their emergency authorization. I think there's a lot of issues morally and legally with doing that.
Well, I don't know that the FDA, if they're honest, ever does get to the point where they approve this. I mean, keep in mind, I was in the pharmaceutical industry. I know what it took in order for a medication to get approved. And
Stop, Terry.
Yeah.
Listen to me. Listen carefully. If you are a drug company and you're already selling it big bucks mm-hmm. with emergency authorization, why would you go through those years of studies?
And you know
why would you?
You wouldn't because you already have immunity. If it gets an NDA and it's approved by the FDA, do you know what? Your liability is going to be exactly. taken away. You then are liable for anything that happens to a patient.
There are some issues with that, but you're hitting the nail right on the head, essentially. Mm-hmm. So I don't think they're not. I may be wrong. I'm not on the inside. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm just looking as a little doctor outside.
Let's clarify one thing. Dr. Fauci has nothing to do with the NDA or the FDA. He is not a part of the FDA.
Never has.
And he cannot have influence over the FDA. So if the FDA approves this drug, it'll be because of the merits of the drug. And as I say, with my background, I know how much it took in order to get a drug past the FDA.
I would be surprised if it got FDA approval.
Yeah.
Okay. But just me. I'm not really clued into the politics of those things. I'm not. But if you're a drug company and you're selling it, making millions, billions, trillions of dollars,
Without ever having to go through the real clinical trials.
Why would you do that and expose yourself to more liability and more VAERS issues?
Right.
Why would you do that? Yeah. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't know what goes on in the drug companies. You know,
okay, so somebody comes in contact with somebody who's got COVID-19. You want them on hydroxychloroquine right away.
We start, essentially, Terry, what we do is...
Then if they develop it, you go to the next step.
Well, here's what we do. The minute they get in contact, we put them on hydroxychloroquine, 200 milligrams once a day. The minute they're tested positive, all right, we ask them to get tested right away. The minute they test positive, we double that dose, 200 milligrams a day. All right, and then or 200 milligrams twice a day, and then we start them on ivermectin right away.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, we'll often give them at the same time and ask them to hold the ivermectin until they test positive. And then we watch them. And the minute they have breathing troubles, they call us. And there's things we look at. Then essentially mm-hmm. start them on dexamethasone and budesonide. And we've had very good success with that. Seriously,
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We are going to let's go ahead and take a break because we're going to come back and talk about something I think that everybody can identify with, dysuria, which is painful urination, and that
professionally micturition, painful peeing,
and so you will want to sit back. Well, this contemplate
is a,
that.
Yeah, this is a common wait, problem.
It's a,
want to yeah, talk
it's a
about
very
it.
Common,
so,
it's a very
so,
common
so you know
problem.
What your doctor thinks about when you have these problems.
Yeah, and depends on where you also live, what they think it might be. We're going to be right back. This is the Terry Maxwell Show here on KNZR. We're talking to Dr. Jan Mensing from The Practice.
There's only one on AM 1560 and FM 97.7. KNZR.
Alexa. Yes. I need my news, weather, and sports.
Only one place to go.
Now, there is a great deal of excitement and anticipation in the air.
You're listening to the Terry Maxwell Show.
You don't own me. I'm not just one of your many toys. You don't own me.
Leslie Gore. She had some great, great songs. I mean, she went to the top of the charts, I guess, when everything turned away from this type of music to, you know, the English invasion, and she must have fallen by the wayside. But she had some great, great hits. She, of course, appeared on Shindig in the 60s, because this is Shindig Wednesdays. But this is Leslie Gore. You don't own me. Now, how many times have you said that, Dawn? Not lately. I think my wife said that to me a few times. You don't own me. Matter of fact, she probably said that earlier today, quite frankly. Dr. Mensing from The Practice is with us. Dysuria or microuria?
Do you mind if I just say something just before
yeah,
we start?
Yeah, absolutely.
Terry, if you're listening and you're an RN or an MA respiratory tech or anything in the hospital area, the hospitals are desperate for staffing, and they will work it. Call Memorial, call any of the hospitals. There's just a desperate need.
Right.
And I just, if you're
out of retirement, if you have to,
and they will work with you. Ken Keller was here on Monday. Work one day a week if you need to be.
Right.
Work half time, work 4 hours a day. They will work with you. There's such a need.
Yeah.
So if you want to help your community, do it.
Yeah. Before we get desperate.
Yeah.
Help,
exactly.
Help out. Yeah. Before we get desperate.
Okay. Sorry. I just wanted to say that.
What does a doctor think about when a patient comes in complaining about painful urination?
Yeah. When a patient has painful urination, the first thing he's going to ask, is there a fever or back pain? All right.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the interest?
Kidneys.
Yes, but more important than that, I want to put in people's minds, what is the doctor thinking about as he goes through? This is all about today. But first of all, he's going to ask, is there a fever? Because he wants to know if you have a pyelonephritis. That's a kidney infection.
Right.
All right. Bladder infection, small cystitis and all that, urethritis, not a big issue often. But if it goes into the kidneys, especially depending on the bug, it can kill you in a hurry. All right. The doctors look at that. Oh, my gosh. Kidneys. You got a fever. Painful urination, and you got back pain, you got to call your doctor today, right away.
Right.
Number two.
How high in the back?
It doesn't matter.
Okay,
doesn't
just in matter. The back. Okay.
Any in the back, all right?
And is it a sharp pain or a dull pain?
It doesn't matter. Often it's nondescript.
Okay.
All right? It's
okay.
Often. Now, if they get actual perinephric infection and pus around there, it'll be can be very sharp. But that's rare. All right. It's usually dull. It aches. It doesn't. It's not descriptive. They can't put their fingers on it. You know.
Right. But if you it's not like a kidney stone.
No.
Which is very very sharp.
Very sharp. Now, the second thing the doctor will think of is, does this patient, if he's a guy, does he have acute prostatitis? All right? Because that can present with back pain, or it can present with a fever. It can present with pain in the crotch. All right? Just the patient feels weird. All right? And they don't know what it is. Kind of
right,
thing.
Right.
But that's what goes to the doctor's mind. If you have a fever with painful urination, all right? The second thing the doctor is going to look and ask for is there blood in the urine? All right? Critical. Now, if you're a young female, all right, and there's blood in the urine, 99% of the time it's a cystitis, all right?
Right.
In fact, we have we have something doctors call honeymoon cystitis, all right? And
sure. To
make a long story short, multiple episodes of sexual intercourse, all right? And bottom line, too much trauma on the urethra, and they'll get an infection, and they get a blood in the urine from that. That's if you're young, all right? Now, if you're an older patient, the doctor's going to think, holder, blood in the urine, mm-hmm. All right, with painful urination, he's going to think, number one, bladder cancer. All right?
Really?
Bladder cancer.
Okay.
Because as a person, we think, well, kidney stone. That's true, but kidney stone is usually not painful urination until, well, let me give you but if that kidney stone gets caught and blocked at the UBPG or at the trigone or where it's just entering into the bladder, then it'll cause painful urination. But that is rare, Terry. All right?
You're talking to a patient that has had several episodes with kidney stone, right.
Stone is not the diagnosis is much easier. It doesn't give usually painful urination. It can.
Okay.
the other thing is if most people who have bladder cancer, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Most people, here's the thing the doctor will think about, all right? But most people who have bladder cancer have not had painful urination. They have had blood in their urine before with no pain whatsoever. All right? So, you know, the doctor has to think about this, but usually the painful urination with blood in the urine is after the fact.
Okay, right? Blood in the urine, is that a one-time occurrence?
No,
is that
it can be multiple. And usually the doctor will dip it.
Does it stop bleeding on its own?
It depends what it's from. But if it's a bladder cancer, usually not.
Okay.
All right? If it's a kidney stone, it can stop. The kidney stone can get blocked or lodged or pass or just sit there. It can be. And as long as the kidney stone is not moving or causing pain, usually there's not a lot of blood. All right?
Okay.
But the key here is that, for the doctor's point of view, we're talking about painful urination. Kidney stones don't do that,
right?
Unless that kidney stone is stuck at what's called the trigone of the bladder, but just before it goes into the bladder. All right,
right.
But that is atypical for a kidney stone.
Yeah, it usually gets stuck much higher.
Yes. The next thing doctor is going to ask for is there any vaginal or urethral discharge? All right.
Mm-hmm.
Very important. And if you have urethral discharge, man or woman, the doctor will always think of gonorrhea.
Right.
End of discussion. All right? And he will always check you. And in fact, we have a routine. You get checked for HIV. You get checked for VDRL, for syphilis, and for GC. All right?
Right.
And that.
Those are making a resurgence, aren't they?
There is an increased incidence of gonorrhea, all right?
And it's because it's becoming...
And chlamydia. Chlamydia is endemic, by the way, in certain populations in this town, by the way.
We used to call the San Fernando Valley the Chlamydia Valley.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's talk... Maybe we should just...
Actually, we also called it the Condyloma Valley.
Well, maybe let's go together. But let's talk about what chlamydia is, all right?
Right.
Chlamydia is an infection that's a sexually transmitted disease that gives you a discharge. It's usually not pussy and creamy. It's usually
less viscous.
Yeah, it's not even patient doesn't even know they've got it. All
right? Got it.
Let's talk a little bit just about the difference between men and women with gonorrhea. All right, women can have gonorrhea, and they are most often they have a cervicitis, and they're asymptomatic. They don't know it.
Right.
A guy gets gonorrhea. He's got a drip. He's to the doctor right away.
Right, right.
That's why all your doctors out there, when you've got gonorrhea, they want your sexual partners treated.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Now,
because otherwise you're just going to transfer back and forth.
Yes, exactly. Now, there's just a, let's talk about a practicality. We can do cultures. We can do urethral swabs. We can do IgG, IgM testing for gonorrhea. And there's a bunch of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Terry, in reality, they're not 100%. All right?
Okay.
So bottom line, in practice, if you've got a drip, all right, a penile drip, that's due to urethritis, we will often, if it's, even though the tests are negative,
go ahead and
treat them.
Yeah.
All right?
Because empirically treat them.
Empirically treat them, and we'll treat both partners.
Right.
It is useless in these cases to treat one because they just ping-pong it back and forth. And, you know, and the woman will have no idea she's got it.
Right.
And just keep giving it back to the guy. So the, if you're going to treat, if the doctor will in mandate that the other partner, we have them both come in
mm-hmm.
together,
mm-hmm.
both getting treated, I'm sorry, end of discussion, right? Or see somebody else kind of thing.
Right.
Because it's just too easy to just, you won't win. You just
yeah,
well,
yeah.
I'll give it to the, you know, the guy will keep coming in with problems.
Maybe right? Sometime we've got to talk about the herpes simplex, complex.
Should. We did that about a year and a half ago.
Did we? Should. Because I know that, quite frankly, if you've got the simplex 2, which is...
That's the bad herpes. This is genital herpes.
Genital herpes, that until both of the patients are clear, both of the patients, the partners are clear, they shouldn't have sex.
That's correct.
And for some people out there, that's like asking them to jump off of a cliff.
Well, you know, the problem with herpes virus, there is no easy answer for this kind of stuff.
No, there isn't.
There isn't. But here's the real issue with herpes. Once you got herpes, I can't cure you.
Yeah.
End of discussion. I'm sorry. I can control it. All right.
I'm sorry. Did you say COVID-19 or did you say herpes?
No, I said herpes.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
But I can't. I can control your herpes. All right.
Yeah.
And we have acyclovir, very good medicines that came out of the HIV, fiasco years ago, that are generic now and cheap. All right. And it's very easy to control. All right. And it's fairly easy to treat also. But the issue is if our patients have more than one episode of herpes breakout a year, then we put them on low-dose acyclovir every day.
Right.
And it just it prevents them from happening.
And it's cheap now to do that
it used to be
the drug companies wanted you to do that with everybody that looked like they had one episode.
I think it was $800 a dose at one time, if I remember right. But it was very expensive. Mm-hmm. You know, this is years ago. But it's not generic. It's generic. It is dirt cheap. And we often, patients that have more than one dose, one breakout a year, we give them acyclovir for life.
Yeah.
It's cheap. Yeah. It's safe. It's very little issues with it. And it just prevents a lot of problems. Yeah. Anyhow, I got sidetracked.
I did that.
That's okay. Now, if it's a vaginal discharge or any discharge, here's what the doctor goes through the doctor's mind. We've talked about gonorrhea, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Number two, he wants to know if there's also candida, because a candida infection can cause a urethritis, especially
right.
if the candida gets up around the urethra.
Okay, and candida
yeast infection,
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right, and then the second thing is the doctor will think of chlamydia, all right? This other sexually transmitted disease, all right? There's something called a nonspecific urethritis. To make a long story short, we don't know why it's there, and there's nothing I can do about it, and tough luck kind of thing. And there's a few things we try, but really nothing works, all right? But more important than that, and I personally think most of the nonspecific urethritises I see, these women are menopausal, all right?
Sure.
And careful how I say this, women have testosterone, just like men, very small amounts. But as a woman goes through menopause, the testosterone levels lower,
mm-hmm.
and the tightness of the sphincter of the urethra in women gets flabby,
mm-hmm.
not as tight.
Right, because testosterone has something to do with muscle.
That's
muscle,
right. And so what we do with these women, and they can have this nonspecific urethritis symptoms and all these weird things, we have them, once we get them on bioidentical hormones, which has a bit of testosterone, we have them put a little bit of that cream around the urethra, within 6 weeks off, and all of those symptoms are gone.
Right.
All right?
Right.
And
right.
The real issue is it's a menopausal lack of testosterone. It's not the urethritis. The urethritis is just sort of the presenting complaint.
Right.
But those are people that are menopausal, or you know, either had surgical menopause early or at age of menopause. All right?
Let's take a break there. We'll come back. We got a few minutes worth of commercials that we need to go through, and we'll finish up our discussion with Dr. Mensink about painful urination.
KNZR.com, KNZR on Twitter, KNZR on Facebook, and KNZR on your radio at AM 1560 and FM 97.7. KNZR, Bakersfield's choice for local Kern County news. AM 1560 and FM 97.7. KNZR. And now, here's Terry Maxwell.
Well, I think I'm going out of my head. Yes, I think I'm going out of my head over you.
Yeah, did everybody know that Little Anthony and the Imperials were the ones that started this song that has been sung by about a billion other people now?
I want you.
Little Anthony and the Imperials, Going Out of My Head. Great song.
So
great song.
I can't think.
I mean, didn't Dionne Warwick do this song, too? Didn't the Rolling Stones do this song? Oh, no, that was the name of their album, Out of Our Heads. We are talking with Dr. Jan Mensink from the practice. Dr. Mensink, we got a little bit of territory to cover, so let's get right back to where we were.
Well, the other thing the doctor's going to want to know is, are there systemic symptoms?
Right.
Okay? What does that mean? Do you have, you know, other things, joint aches, aching, things like that. And there's several things he's looking for. Number one is Reiter syndrome, collagen diseases, and arthritis. Mm-hmm. The other thing he's going to want to know is rashes. Why? A lot of people don't know this, all right? But both syphilis and gonorrhea can cause you rashes with bladder problems, with dysuria, all right? So he wants to know that. So if you've got a rash and you got problems peeing, especially if you've got a little bit of discharge, you better see your doctor right away, all right?
Sure.
And the other thing is, if the pain is very severe, there are certain people, this is rare, Terry, by the way, this is rare, but there are certain people, nothing works, and the painful urination is just over the top, all right? It makes no sense to you.
Like,
or to the doctor.
They stop drinking water or anything because it's so painful.
It's just so over the top. What is the doctor going to think? There's something called tabes dorsalis, and that doesn't mean much to most people. But as you get tertiary syphilis, what happens is that it screws up the dorsal columns of the spinal cord. All right? And then they have trouble with gait and walking, but they have this, it'll screw up the dorsal part of the sacral column. And they have terrible, terrible, painful urination.
The sacral column is down at the very bottom,
of
the spinal cord.
All right.
Of course, yeah, in case people didn't understand
what the sacral area was. We're talking about neurology stuff. But,
you got the thoracic area, you got cervical area, lumbar, and then sacral.
What happens, tertiary syphilis, they will literally screw up the back part of the spinal cord.
Mm-hmm.
And if it screws up the very low part of the sacral part of the spinal cord, you can get this painful urination.
Can't do anything about it at that point.
Well, there's some things we do, but it is out of proportion of way it should be.
Yeah.
And so if this is going on, the doctor's going to think about it.
Okay. How about when is a culture needed?
Cultures are needed for several places. Number one is if you have, most of the time we don't culture patients. Now here's what we do for cultures. If I can't cure you of your recurrent infection, you need cultures, all right? Do you have a resistant bug? But more important than that, Terry, and not a lot of doctors, we do this, but some urologists do this. But I don't. If you have a recurrent urinary tract infection, I will treat you.
Mm-hmm.
Then I will culture you after you're finished and treated to prove I cured you, because I need to know one thing: is this the same? Did I cure you, and you've got a new infection? versus you've got a resistant infection that I didn't cure. It just settled it down, and 3 weeks later, you're back to square one.
Right.
Because that is a very serious issue, and those patients need workup. There's something wrong anatomically, usually. They have a stone, or they have a tumor, or there's something wrong. All right? The other thing is that persistent, if you have persistent problems peeing, it hurts to pee. It goes on and on, nothing works kind of thing.
Right.
All these patients have to have an MRI of their pelvis. If you're a man, you need a rectal exam to make sure the prostate is no cannabis.
Prostate is not involved.
All right. Have to be checked for TB, because TB can do this. This is rare in this country, but you need to be checked for TB, especially if you're an immigrant or living in the immigrant communities. All right. And you have to be cultured for aerobic organisms. All right. The other thing doctors will do sometime, if the doctor is not sure, he will give you Cipro, because Cipro will go into the prostate and treat a prostatitis.
Right.
That may be looking like a urethral drip.
Right, right.
All right, that's kind of it, Terry.
Excellent. And one of the things that I will let people know is that if you do get put on some of these medications, especially the antibiotics, doctors should go over with you what some of the common side effects are, because these are not innocuous medications, and some people have just reaction to these.
Yeah, just a common. We now know so much more about these antibiotics, but I've seen hundreds. I've never kept track, but so many patients, they come in with one urinary tract infection, they get this antibiotic, come in with another one, they get this antibiotic, they come with another one, and then pretty soon they come in and they are messes.
Right.
And what's really happened, the doctor didn't realize they had multiple courses of antibiotics. They wiped out.
But they've still got the same infection.
Well, that may not be the issue,
okay.
But what really happens is they wipe out their gut flora, and then they have all these problems, then their immune system goes down the tubes, and they feel terrible.
Thank you, Dr. Mensing. We got to take our last break. We'll be right back.
The new KNCR stickers are here. Get one and stick it. It could make you a winner.